You think we're simple, you think we're not bright. Look at your cities and ask yourself who's right. We've got country and you've got crime. We've got green and you've got grime. Let there be no doubt, we have what it takes to till the soil until our back aches. Just give us a break and don't be so rude. We love the work and you love the food.
We feed you.
Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 28 of Weed All About It, or what I'm calling Demolishing Combines, Building Community, about the 30th anniversary of the Lind Combine Demolition Derby, an event that occurred on a beautiful but windy June 10th. I mentioned the wind because you might hear a bit of it whipping around the microphone during my interviews. I attended my first Combine Demolition Derby last year as part of my duties at the WGC. Along with other staff, I accompanied a trade team of Philippine journalists learning about American wheat infrastructure and rural culture. Ordinarily, trade teams that visit Eastern Washington are made up of millers or bakers, but in an innovative effort to influence the influencers, U.S. Wheat Associates invited a group of business newspaper editors from Manila to tour several states. They loved the Demolition Derby. I'm sure it had to be the highlight of their U.S. trip. How could it not be? There's a couple of photos of the Philippine team at the Derby posted on the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page. By the way, the Philippines was Washington's number one buyer of soft white wheat in the 2016-2017 marketing year. I enjoyed my time at last year's Derby, but I was on the clock. It wasn't like I could kick back and relax, which is why I returned to the Demolition Derby this year. Now, you might think recording the event and interviewing folks for a podcast is work too, but that's different. I get to turn the switch on and off. Besides, talking with people about what is part family festival, part carnival, part coming-of-age ritual, part community-building event is not exactly digging ditches, is it? In the early years of the Demolition Derby, it was held in conjunction with a rodeo, but it wound up that the Derby was paying for the rodeo, so in short order, the only horses at the event became the ones under the hood, so to speak. There was also a car demolition derby in the early days, but the cost of fixing, then crashing cars to smithereens, became prohibitive. There are many small rural communities throughout Eastern Washington that have annual events to celebrate civic pride. Davenport has its Mule Days, Odessa its Deutschfest, and Colfax its appropriately named Concrete River Days. I would have liked to have been in the Lynn's Lion Club meeting in the mid-1980s when the idea of smashing combines together as a fundraiser was first broached. I imagine there were those who questioned the idea, but certainly time has justified the spectacle. Not only has the event generated hundreds of thousands of dollars for the good works the Lynn Lions Club supports, it has put the tiny community on the map. How many Eastern Washington towns can claim to have been featured in Playboy magazine, along with numerous other media outlets? Not to mention this podcast. For those who haven't been to the Derby, let me try to set the scene. The event happens at what were once rodeo grounds, but which have been retrofitted to safely accommodate large crowds sitting on bleachers on three sides while four or more combines knock the stuffing out of each other. The fourth side is reserved for the beer sales, the bandstand, and the egress to the pits where the racing trucks and combines wait for their chance in the spotlight. There's a couple of places to buy food, and may I say the hamburgers were delicious. Just outside the arena is a community of all manner of recreational vehicles that pops up for the event. I'm sure it's got to accommodate many more than the 570 or so residents of the town. Although Smashing Combines, now there's a good name for a band, is what excites the public's imagination, I have to admit that for me, it's the truck races, both pickups and grain trucks, that I found more exciting. There is something thrilling about watching these beat-up vehicles, once the pride of someone's farm, doing something they were never intended to do. I've asked our social media man at the WGC, Joe Bippert, to post a couple of photos of the trucks in action. Here's a condensed version of one pickup truck race.
Little pickup truck action here today. Coming out of the number 22, that is Stacy Wilson on the outside of row one. Number 28, that is Andy Clary. Here comes the number 21, that's Rowdy Brown into the arena. Rowdy's got some Rowdy fans here today. All right, Dick, they're giving you the get go. Let's go. Four laps. Dick Hemore's going to get them going around. A little warm-up lap. Some truck action. As they make their way around to the front stretch, and here we go, racing, folks. Great race in there for second place. Going two wide out of quarter four. Stacy pulling away from the pack, but we got a great race for second place. Rowdy trying to stick that nose in there. That's Andy Clary. Oh, there you go, a little nudge. A little pass, sort of, maybe. Here comes the white flag for the number 22, Stacy Wilson. And look at that, Andy Clary back into second place. One more time around. Make some noise for the number 22. Get the checkered flag. Stacy Wilson, your winner.
The boisterous laughter you heard in the background over the sound of the announcer and the racing was me. I was laughing because in racing such as this, being the fastest truck or the best racer doesn't always matter. Instead, trucks and drivers often try to nudge the car in front of them into a spin. But for as many times as the tactic works, it seems to backfire an equal number of times. Hence my laughter. I imagine there are a lot of people like me who have lived in Eastern Washington for years, heard about the event, saw the sign at the side of the road near the Lind exit off Highway 395, and yet have never taken the time to drive the 67 miles from the Tri-Cities to Lind, the 77 miles from Spokane to Lind, or the 93 miles from Pullman to Lind. Just let me say, you should. You see, while the $15 adult entry fee generates plenty of dough for the Lions' good works, spectators are equally repaid in the smiles and laughter that are a byproduct of attendance at what is really a wacky adventure for all involved. I'm not quite sure why watching suicidal combines and resurrected farm trucks produce such joy. The beer may have something to do with it. But you only have to attend the event once to discover the truth. Of course, many people attend the event year after year, a ritual of running into friends you may never see anywhere else. Even myself, an outsider to the community, ran into a half dozen people I know from my agricultural contacts. All of us were happy to be there, which is really the gift of the Demolition Derby. Here's what a typical Combine Demolition Derby heat looks like. Four old, brightly painted combines, their last harvest many years behind them, are arranged at the corners of the infield. A horn is blowing, and they begin charging into each other. It's hard to visualize, which is why you have to go, but listen now to the clangs of contact over the noise of the straining diesel engines as the announcer calls the action.
Nathan Canola getting the full speed, and that blue machine number four there.
For historical lore about the Derby, I was directed to Leroy Watson, who lives south of Lind on a farm. He was flipping hamburgers in the cook shack, but my timing was perfect. He was taking a break. Watson was among those who chartered the Lynn Lions Club in 1967, and its third or fourth president. He can't remember. He's been president another time, too. I asked him about the supply of older combines necessary for the Demolition Derby to be a success.
The club has been able to purchase some older combines to further supply. We try to buy them under $1,000. 500 is better. This year for our raffle combine, we purchased a combine and got it derby ready, and we're selling raffle tickets. So the person that wins that gets to drive in the final eight with a chance to win the prize money for $10 investment.
I made that investment.
That's good. We'll look forward to seeing you out there.
So what does the money go toward?
The money all stays in town. The Lions Club's the only service organization in Lynn. We donate to the schools, FFA, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, whatever is needed out there. We support the summer program at the pool and scholarship for the senior in high school. And wherever the money is needed, that's where it goes. All the money goes back into the community. So we're blessed to have a lot of younger members taken into the club the last 3 or 4 years, which is a blessing for us older members that we just can't do the physical work anymore like they can, and they've been a blessing. They're gung-ho to go and doing a great job.
One of those younger members is Taylor Kerr. An outsider who's quickly becoming an insider, Kerr met Grant Miller's daughter in college. The two married, and now he's farming with the family. After only 5 years in the community, he's president of the Lions Club. I asked him if that was a little quick. He laughed.
I thought so too, but there's a lot of younger. We've got quite a few younger guys coming back into the club, coming home from college. So, you know, all the older members, they've done their time, and so it's our younger guys' turn.
Have you ever driven in the Combine Derby?
I've raced a pickup, and that's how my very first combine, when I was dating my now wife, they had a spare pickup, and I got to race the pickup and just had the time of my life. So
that truck racing did look fun. I got a pit pass for another $5 on top of the $15 entry fee so I could go back and interview the combine drivers. Although the combines look menacing, the size of the arena prevents them from gaining the kind of speed that could cause true carnage, although drivers do try. The key, as you'll hear ahead, is knocking out the combine's rear tires. This era combine had huge tires on the front and tiny tires on the rear, so your key as a combine driver is to knock out the other guy's rear wheels. Oftentimes, that's enough to stop the combine, but some drivers use their giant front tires to crawl on, making painful progress until they're smashed into submission. I met James Peterson in the pit next to his baby blue combine. A South Dakota farm kid who came west for a job, I asked him how many times he's driven in the Demolition Derby.
I haven't. This is my first.
It's sort of like a rite of passage, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah. I've been helping these guys for about 3 years, and they finally said they're going to let me drive this year, so I'm looking forward to it.
So you've watched previous Demolition Derbies. Is there a technique for winning this, or is it all luck?
I think there's some skill involved, yeah. So just make big hits. That's what it's all about. Wreck the other guy. And don't get hit yourself. It's that simple, really.
And which unit is yours here? You're Jaws over here. And what does Jaws have going for it?
It's old, it's tired, it's on its last leg, it just won't die, so they put a rookie on board and said kill it.
Not far away, Tyron Doyle and his pit crew were preparing for his entry into the ring. Although he's from Lind, he's not a farm kid, he went out and bought his combine from a farmer for $1,000. And then there was buying all that red paint. This was his third derby. I asked him if experience counted for anything.
It's a little bit of luck, but a lot of it's just keeping your rear end to the outside edge so that other drivers can't get to you.
It seems like a lot of work for a few moments of glory. How do you balance that out?
Well, a lot of adult beverages, I guess you could say. Just takes a great crew of friends and family to all get together and put the machine together is what it comes down to there.
With a machine that's painted bright red, I assumed it was a Case model, but Doyle quickly explained his color scheme.
No, it'd be a John Deere 6602.
Why did you paint it red?
Well, I went with the fire truck theme. It's my machine's called the Extinguisher, so I did the whole fire truck theme.
I interviewed two different kinds of people who came to the Derby. Those who were coming for the first time, and those who had been coming for years. Brenda Britton from Moses Lake was one of the former. This was the first time she'd been to the Derby, and she hadn't been disappointed.
It is pretty cool out here. We saw the truck races, and we've seen a couple rounds of the combine races, and it's pretty exciting stuff.
Sam Whitman represents the other end of the audience spectrum, a Ritzville farm boy. When I asked him how often he attended the Derby, he replied,
"It's uncommon to not be here."
So you have been here most of your life then?
Yeah, born and raised in Ritzville.
Have you ever raced?
Wheat truck. We used to have a wheat truck that we raced down here, but not a combine.
Now, why do you keep coming back? I mean, come on, year after year after year, what is in it for you?
Well, friends come down, and it's just a good time. It's good for the community to keep coming to it and supporting it, and so it continues to happen.
Well, that's a nice note to end on. So it can continue to happen. When it comes to funding the good works of the Linz Lions Club, that's a very good reason indeed. I haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to make a plea again now for those of you listening to let your neighbors, friends, and landlords know about this podcast. Something as simple as sending out an email to your friends or mentioning Weed All About It on your Facebook page would help immensely in growing the listenership of our little secret. That's all for now. I hope you've enjoyed episode 28 of Weed All About It, or what I'm calling Demolishing Combines, Building Community. Join me again next time for another episode of Weed All About It!
Grass is fine if you've got a cut or 4 feet and stand in the mud, but we've got 2 and teeth to chew. Don't give us none of that vegetarian stew. We're carnivores and we ain't ashamed. The reason's simple, it's in the refrain. We feed you.